If you take your Bibles and turn to, Exodus 18. Exodus 18. This is a sermon that I have preached several times over different locations, different places. I believe I have preached this sermon in somewhat of a similar situation here at Central, but I think it's appropriate and a good time for us to take a look at what God has to say about our role as Christians in our government in America. We live in the greatest nation on earth. In fact, America has been called the land of promise. And if you don't believe me, just turn on the TV and what you'll hear is politicians after politicians will say, "I promise, I promise, I promise." Just in case you don't believe me. A couple of you got that. Some of you are still trying to figure that out, and I'll get with you later on that. If you take your Bibles again and turn to Exodus 18, and we're going to start in verse 8. "And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord hath done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro received for all the goodness which the Lord hath done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all gods, for in thee wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening." I'm just going to back up in verse 12 real quickly. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. That's God Jehovah. Jethro was a believer. He was a believer in God. The God of Abraham and of Isaac is who Jethro was. And it goes on in 13 and says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou dost to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand before thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing thou dost is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God word, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein thou must walk, and the work that thou must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that thou have great matter that thou shalt bring unto thee. But every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and thou shalt bear the burden." And it goes on to talk about how Moses actually executed this plan that Jethro had brought to Moses on how to rule the people. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll get started this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word has stayed throughout the ages. Thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you will guide what my words are, my thoughts tonight. I pray, Lord, that there won't be anything that I say, Lord, that is not honor and pleasing to you. Lord, take this vessel and use it for you and you only, and I will give you all the praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a recent survey that estimated somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35% of the population in the United States is considered evangelical Christians. Now, I struggle with what that means anymore because I really don't know. And I can't find anybody that can really tell me what that means. But the number is between 30 and 35% of people in America profess to be evangelical Christians. 30 to 35% of a population of any country can decide any election. So what I'm telling you tonight, the people that are professing to be Christians can actually decide this election that's coming up in November. That's what I'm telling you. You see, if the unrighteous can neutralize the church in America, they win. And it appears that they're making great strides to do that. There's another recent poll from Pew Research said that 62% of Christians, again, that's that same number that evangelical Christians, of that 30 to 35% of the population, 62% of Christians say that their faith has little to do with their voting decisions. Let me say that again. 62% of Christians that are sitting in the pews in America say that their faith has little to do with their voting decisions. America is in trouble, not by these radical leftists, not by these communists. America is in trouble because of the church. It's because of the church. And Isaiah 33:22 is where our founding fathers put together the rule for our governance in America. Our founding fathers did. By the way, America was built on biblical principles. It is because of America and the biblical principles that it was built upon that this nation has been successful. And it wasn't successful just to be a prosperous, financial, prosperous nation. It was built by God that it would evangelize the world for Jesus Christ. And America has lost that completely. In fact, most of your politicians that are in government today and our governor in our government today would tell you that the United States of America is not a Christian nation, nor was ever built on Christian principles. And that is a bold-faced lie. If you look at our Constitution, the Constitution is a reference from the biblical principles from the Word of God, time and time and time again. In Isaiah 33:22, if you look at that verse, and you may want to reference it later, Joe has only given me an hour tonight. He's only given me an hour, so I just want to give you a heads up that that's all the time I have, so I'll try not to go over that hour. He's giving me a really funny look, but we'll get over that. In Isaiah 33:22, the Lord is our judge. Number one is it's a judicial branch of our government. This is where our founding fathers got this. The Lord is our lawgiver. That is the legislative branch. The Lord is our king. That is the executive branch. It is He who will save us. Elections are based part on how our government works. And I just want to share this every chance I get. I want to mention this. I don't want to ever lose an opportunity to let y'all give y'all a heads up, because every news station in America and most of your politicians will tell you that America is a democracy. It is not a democracy.
Right.
It never was a democracy. In fact, a democracy if we were a democracy, the Constitution wouldn't matter. Does that make sense? Because whatever the people, whatever sways the people this week is what would happen, because it would be a total democratic government. It is not. We are a republic. We have a constitution that was formed, and it's not a breathing document, just as the Word of God. It is there forever as the Word of God. It doesn't change. That's the difference. And see, you would want or have politicians would try to get you to believe that, because if it was a democracy, then the Constitution wouldn't matter and they could do anything they wanted to the Constitution, which Mrs. Weakland just mentioned to me tonight, got me fired up, thank you Mrs. Weakland for that, about an executive order that was made that was not, it was 100% against our Constitution, okay? See, that you can do that if it's not a republic and we don't have a constitution that is good, that is there forever. You can do that. You see, government is one of the three institutions God established. It was along with the family, it was along with the church. Paul states in Romans 13:1 that the governmental authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, I want you to follow me for just a minute. If that is the case, and Romans 13 is the case, and the government authorities that exist has been established by God, and since we are in a nation that chooses our leaders, would it not make sense, since God established the institution of government, would it not make sense that God would say, you as Christians need to be involved in that government? Why would that not be the case? For some reason, what we've done in America is we have said the church needs to be quiet. You need to stay in your four walls of your church. You do your church here and stay in your church and whatever you want to talk about in your church, but don't go outside these four walls. But that's not biblical. That's not biblical. We had every single disciple lose their life, save one, because they took the church out of the four walls of their communities. They went into the world and they preached the gospel, and it cost them their lives, everyone except John. So why would we in America make a decision that we just need to sit in our pews and say nothing and keep quiet about our government? Oh, we'll talk a little bit about it. We'll talk internally about our government, but we don't get involved in it. We don't get engaged in it. And people are staying out of it. Christians are staying out of our government. 62% of Christians say that my vote and my faith has nothing to do with each other. Wow. What happened? What happened to America? You see, God expects us to get involved, to make a positive impact, to lead the way to real and lasting change. Just as the church has done since the founding of this nation. The church was actively involved in this nation. The founding of this nation came from the church. It came from the church. When they called out the atrocities of the King of England, it came from preachers, it came from pastors, it came from the church. And now I go throughout Florida, I go throughout our nation, I talk to churches, numerous denominations. They're saying, no, we really don't want to get involved in that politics, saying we need to, you know, we just need to, you know, love people. Yeah. Keep that up. See how that's working? I don't think it's working very good for us. John Adams, he declared the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. That's what John Adams said. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to vote. Because a lot of us say, I really don't know how to vote. And you've got two politicians, maybe in the presidential election, you may have, politicians in some other elections. And, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I just don't know how to vote. I just don't understand the concept of how to vote. Well, this whole principle on voting and choosing godly, righteous people for office actually came again from our founding fathers in Exodus 18. This is where this whole concept came from. You see, Moses just led out probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million people. I wasn't there. I didn't count them, but I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of around 2 million plus people. Some say more. Moses had just led, and this guy, he had probably a speech impediment. He probably didn't really talk well. He was probably a little shy, but he led 2 million people through the Holy Spirit, through God, out of Egypt. And he led them across the Red Sea. So now you have these 2 million people, they get across the Red Sea, and there they are, and now Moses is like, what do I do now? What do I do now? Well, his father-in-law steps in, Jethro, and he says, Moses, I watched you, and you are trying to rule these 2 million people. And from morning to night, you're trying to oversee these 2 million people. And it's virtually impossible. You are going to wear yourself out. And you're going to probably wear the people out and probably frustrate them as well. You cannot do that. You cannot rule 2 million people under that concept. So Jethro, and I believe that this was a divine thing from God, because first of all, God put this in Scripture for a reason, did he not? I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I don't have anything else to say, so let me bring this up. He didn't do that. God put this in his word for a reason. The reason he put it in his word is so America could have a basis on how to govern our nation. That's what happened. So this is what he did in Exodus 18. 21, read this. Go to Exodus 18, 21. It says this. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers. This is local government. Thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. That is our government structure that our founding fathers came up with. But I want to hone in on a little bit on what Jethro instructed Moses to do very specifically about choosing leaders. Okay, I want to hone in on that just for a brief few minutes. First of all, Jethro said he gave counsel to Moses that he needed to choose, number one, Abled men. These are people who are capable of doing the job. This would refer to people of wisdom, discernment, judgment, prudence, and fortitude. Able men were men who are physically able to do the job, who are mentally able to do the job, and who are spiritually able to do the job. Now, I wrote this sermon many years ago, and I still hold to what I just said. They must be able-bodied men. That is what Jethro told Moses that the leaders that was chosen, that's what they need to be. Secondly, men who feared God. Men who feared God. Those who have a holy reference toward God. People who diligently seek the will of God rather than the wants or the will of men. George Washington said this, "The smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards in the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." You see, our founding fathers clearly understood to create a constitutional republic which was to be governed by the people. The people must be governed by the word of God. And the leaders must have a reverence and a fear of God. Our founding father, also, he was the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay. But you know who John Jay was, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right. We got an attorney in the room. I knew he would know who John Jay was. He was the first U.S. Supreme Court Justice. And John Jay said this, "It is a duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." That is the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America. You don't think America was built on biblical principles? Yeah, they were. And then the third thing that Jethro said is this, men of truth, a person of integrity, those who seek after truth, speak the truth, and judge according to the truth. Benjamin Franklin warned the New Republic when he said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As a nation becomes corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Is that not true in America today? You see, our founding fathers knew if America was to survive, the people would need to elect virtuous leaders. Samuel Adams, another founding father, said this, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of people whose manners are universally corrupt. He therefore is the truest friend of liberty and of his country who tries to promote its virtue, who will not suffer a man chosen into any office or power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man. And then fourth is this, hating covetousness means putting oneself and his own ambitions aside to strive to honor God and his fellow man. Do what's right no matter what. It's not for your personal self-interest. It is for the nation. The term covetous could mean the love of money. Samuel Adams said this, if ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. I would say tonight, church, this. America needs experienced patriots. And I would say the experienced patriots is the church. And what I would say in that regard is they need to stand up, take a stand and vote. Take a stand and vote. Our founding fathers used this account of Moses to organize and form our government that we see here in America. When we vote, we help determine who will lead our nation, make our laws, and protect our freedoms. So voting is a simple act with a significant, significant impact. Founding Father Samuel Adams said this, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. You remember 62% of Christians do not consider their faith when they go to the ballot box. Why? Samuel Adams said something different. He was a founding father. He understood how sacred a vote was and the responsibility of a vote. My challenge in the next few weeks is to get the churches in Florida and obviously in America to stand, not to show up at the ballot box to vote, but to vote biblical principles. Because with my math is if 62% of them aren't regarding biblical principles when they vote, we are in really, really big trouble. And see, against everything, if the church, if the evangelicals, whatever that means, Christians took a stand for Christ and said, I'm going to vote on biblical principles, and they showed up at the ballot box, there ain't enough cheating to stop it. So we can talk about cheating if you want, but it wouldn't be enough cheating to stop that. Benjamin Rush, another founding father. Isn't this interesting how all these founding fathers were deists? That's a joke. Benjamin Rush said this. He actually worked for elected officials from several different political parties. And he was accused of being a partisan because he did that. And this is how Benjamin Rush responded. He said, I have been alternately called an aristocrat and a Democrat. I am neither. I'm a Christocrat. See, our loyalty needs to be first and last and always with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a second, that's just my introduction. I actually have 5 points here, but I'm not going to go into those. But I'm going to say this. You have to vote biblical principles. God has destroyed nations over the value of human life, the lack of value for human life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our governor has been fighting this Amendment 4 that I mentioned several weeks ago. Amendment 4 is to basically stop, if you vote no on Amendment 4, basically you're saying that Amendment 4, that we do value human life, and we're not going to allow abortionists to have a carte blanche over the abortion issues in Florida. Amendment 4 is a big deal. Our governor has been fighting this. He has been putting his own personal efforts into fighting this. He just got sued by guess who? The abortionist. He just got sued by them. And pray for him. Pray for him. He's fighting a fight that Christians should be engaged in. And a lot of us aren't. God has destroyed nations over those nations that do not value the traditional family. He's destroyed nations. And I would say this, that America is in really, really big trouble. We have to take a stand for traditional family. We're losing our nation, but we're also losing our church because of the same issue, by the way. God has destroyed nations over turning their backs on Israel. I'm just kind of helping y'all out here with things that you may want to consider when you vote. Because candidates do talk about this. They lie a lot. Don't watch what they say, watch what they do. Watch what they do. Amen. Protecting a nation's border. Jeremiah, through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, wrote a whole book on it. Building a wall. Somebody stole that. Here's the thing. This summer I went to the border. To do an organization to do a documentary on the border. And I camped with Border Patrol agents, federal Border Patrol agents, and also with reservists, Army reservists. And I did a lot of video and stuff of the wall and of the river and things like that. But I'm going to tell you what got me. It wasn't that. It wasn't all that. And it's a lot of, you know, it's like really cool stuff you're seeing. You're actually seeing this in action happening. This is what got me. I started talking to these border agents, which are not supportive of what's going on, by the way. They're not supportive at all. Good people. Good people. They told me stories that I can't even tell you the stories in a public audience. But they told me stories of some of the most horrific human trafficking things that you can possibly imagine that's going on in America. It's unbelievable what was going on. And they weren't even allowed to stop some of it. It was the most horrific thing. I would have probably been to federal prison by now if I would have seen some of the things that they saw. It was awful. It was awful. Nation of Israel, right now, they're trying to protect their borders. Right. You don't think that's a kind of a mandate? You can't really have a nation without borders. Anybody have a house without walls? Yes. Does that work? You got a lock on it? I'm just asking, why do you do that? Yeah. And then the last thing is the value of religious freedom. It's because of the religious freedom our founding fathers believed in. It's because of that this nation has been prosperous. And it's not just been the prosperous from a financial aspect. I believe God specifically made America prosperous to evangelize the world. That's what I believe with all my heart. And now, as was mentioned, now missionaries are coming into the United States because of how wicked and lost our nation is. Tonight, as a Christian, you're going to have to make some decisions in your own heart and life. You cannot accidentally forget to go to the polls. You can't forget to vote. There's a lot of stuff on those ballots that I can help you with, because I know. But you can't just accidentally just forget it. You can't do that. You have to show up. You have to show up. If nothing else, you got to show up to stop Amendment 4 and Amendment 3. Nothing else, show up for that. But you've got to do more than that. You've got to pray. You've got to seek God for the decisions you make. You've got to beg God, help me, Lord, to make those decisions. Salt stings, but it heals. To be a light that exposes but shines the way to our only hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come up here in just a minute. But I'm asking for a couple things. And I'm asking you to diligently, fervently pray for this upcoming election. Ask God what he would have you do to help stop some of the things that are going on in these ballots in this election. I remember growing up, I'm going to just tell this story real quick. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I love hobbies. I love to hunt and fish. I grew up hunting and fishing. Every opportunity I got, I would be out on a lake or river fishing, or I'd be hunting. I grew up that way. I loved it. And I've had people time and time again in recent times say, Randy, why don't you go hunting? Why don't you go fishing anymore? If we lose this nation, nothing matters. If we lose this nation, the burden that God has put on my heart on this nation, I don't have time to do anything except do what God's called me to do. And I just want to mention something. If you are born again Christian, if God has saved you, he has called you into full-time service. It's really interesting how that we want to, you know, say, hey, that person's been called, so I'm going to support. God's called you into full-time service for a purpose. And in this upcoming election, in the place that we are in America, maybe he's called you in full-time service for just the time as this, to evangelize the lost, to share your faith. You, as individuals sitting in the pews tonight, have more opportunities to share your faith than Pastor Joe does. You have more opportunities, you have more connections. And we need to, as everything is as darkness is getting on America, we need to do everything we can to evangelize the lost. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, just in your holy, precious name, that you will, Lord, put your hand back on America. Lord, I just pray that you will revive the church. Lord, I just pray for this upcoming revival, Lord, that we as Christians will be ready to receive, Lord, what you would have for us. Lord, I just pray that you will, if anyone here does not know you as their Savior, that tonight will be that night, Lord, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.